A big fan of Tom Selleck's mustache. That was the first thing he noticed about the movie. He's like, you know what? That Tom Selleck's a handsome man.
Is his mustache...
It's not like our boy.
Is it Glenn Davis? Like, I was looking for a Kevin Bass, maybe Jeff Kent.
Now, you know, in the city of Houston, there's two Glenn Davises you can talk about. You can talk about the soccer legend, or you can talk about the baseball legend. Which one are you referring to?
I'm talking baseball.
Oh, okay. Just saying.
Yeah. I was going to say Dale Murphy at first, but wanted to keep it kind of local. Only problem I have with Selleck.
Dale Murphy had a mustache?
In Atlanta, starting out.
Oh. I wasn't down with Dale back in the day. No, I'm kidding.
My question is on this one. You know, you take the man, you take the player, but I think that, like you said, problems in the clubhouse, a little bit of a prima donna. I think he would try to maybe interact with your wife or mate.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that is for team camaraderie.
I don't know how the collective bargaining issues are or how the union, how strong the union is in baseball, but when could you get traded to a Japanese team? How does that happen?
Yeah, fully traded, though.
Cut,
and then you just sign on your own.
Gabe Kapler left the Texas Rangers and went over to Japan to play.
Right.
When he was there.
Bobby Valentine has managed back and forth several times.
Yeah, he got fired from several jobs and has gone there. So I'm a little confused on how that whole thing happened. But regardless of the fact, Jack Elliott, the guy could hit, as he said in the clip, he led the American League in doubles the year before.
In ninth inning doubles.
So,
in August.
Jack Elliott is a guy that he's a lightning. I don't know if he's lightning, but he's definitely a good choice at first base. The other one is a guy who got old, but it's a Mr. 3000, Bernie Mac.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the movie. We hadn't seen it. He ends up being Mr. 2999. But here's the thing, though. He's Angela Bassett, and David, you've seen this. As you've covered things, a lot of male-dominated profession, sports media. But on occasion, you do find a very nice-looking female sports media person.
Yeah.
And media, for sure, in general, especially on TV. And Bernie had Angela Bassett in the movie as his woman or cougar or whatever term you want to use. So, you know, fine women on occasion run together. She didn't have that bouncer, you know, so...
Right.
I'm going with Bernie.
Those of you tuning in a little bit late, we're drafting our all-time movie baseball team at every position. And luckily, we've got Mike Capps of the Round Rock Express ready to go. Mr. Capps, we're having a problem with first base. Do we go with Jack Elliott from Mr. Baseball, or do we go with Bernie Mac from Mr. 3000?
I'm going with the latter there, if you don't mind.
Hey, it's your choice, my friend, and we're having a lot of fun with that today. But AstrosDaily.com, James Anderson hooked us up with you, and we're really excited to talk about you. Let me ask you, you've got a very interesting story. You were in the media initially. You're an investigative reporter out of Dallas at the ABC affiliate. But then you said, you know what, I want to get into baseball, follow my love. How did that whole thing come together?
Well, it's a long and varied story, and in fact, I worked at Channel 2 in Houston. As a young cop beat reporter in my early 20s, in the mid-70s to 1980, and then went to Dallas. But I was a junior college baseball player and at Hill in Hillsboro. I have a cousin who was a 40-year veteran scout who passed away about 7 or 8 years ago. My grandfather basically gave me the game years and years ago. He was the Pittsburgh Pirates prospect until World War One intervened, and it's a long, varied story. I made a friendship with a fellow named Red Murph, the scout who discovered Nolan Ryan. I wrote a book with him. I quit CNN after a 5-year career there to write that book. And we were out just doing a little promo on the book at spring training in 1996, and Red was being interviewed by the late Bob Starr, who was the Angels broadcaster, and it like a thunderclap. It hit me that I could do that, and I said, hey, I'm in my mid-40s. Am I too old to get started? He said, you're a puppy, and 2 phone calls later, I had my first job and became friends with a guy who runs this franchise here, Jay Miller, in Dallas years and years ago, and just stayed in touch with him, and I was the original broadcaster hired and have been here all 9 years.
Mike Capps, our guest, voice of the Round Rock Express. And by the way, you mentioned Hill College. Not many people have ever been on the campus of Hill College, Mr. Capps, but I am fortunate to say that I have been there, and I have covered some sporting events out there, some baseball and some basketball. So just so you know, we may be in the minority, but we do know Hill College.
You know, it's really funny. Since you've been there, you'll get this. We'd start baseball practice in January with the northerly winds blowing in on that hill, and I'm telling you, I'm not sure even... having spent some time living in New York City and up in the upper Midwest that I've ever been colder than I was on that hilltop getting ready for baseball practice.
Mr. Capps, broadcaster with the Round Rock Express. Round Rock this year, 10-18, last place. Give us the pulse of the team and just the, in general what's going on up there in Round Rock in the Austin area.
It's, you know, I'll start with the franchise first, and it's we're the top draw in the Pacific Coast League as of this date by about 200 fans a night. We're drawing close to 10,000 a night here. And, of course, you know it's a AAA affiliate of the Astros. Everybody in that area does. And it's run by the Ryan Sanders Group, Reed and Reese Ryan, Don Sanders in Houston, and a fellow named Jay Miller and Dave Fendrick here in Round Rock actually run it day by day, as do the Ryan sons. But it's the team itself is pretty much a reflection of the inability to get key base hits and situations out of the 28 games. I mean, I was looking at my score sheets today through all 28, and we had situations in 15 of those games where a key base hit in one inning or another turns the entire game around. So, as you well know, this professional game, and especially the AAA game, hinges so much on the Astros' needs and wants at a particular moment. And I said to somebody today, I really do believe that the AAA level is the most difficult to win at because the rosters are just so transitory. I mean, there's so much movement up and down between Houston and us and Corpus and us. It's difficult to keep, and all AAA teams face this. It's difficult to keep a clubhouse intact and win, but that's part of the process, and our fans fortunately understand that, and they still turn out in droves to see a pretty doggone good AAA product.
Hey, Mr. Cavs, talk to me a little bit about Ryan Houston. We saw him here at the Elite Camp, and he's got the best name in Houston baseball history. I mean, what a great name.
No better combo.
Talk a little bit about Ryan Houston.
Ryan Houston is an interesting young man. I saw him throw last night. Throws about 94, keeps it down in the zone. He's in pretty good shape. He's a short reliever. He'll go one time through a lineup. He just is the kind of guy, he had a bad third of an inning in Oklahoma City, and his ERA is a little bit high because of that. But I think over the course of this year, he has a good chance to come back to Houston and pitch in the bullpen. He has pretty electric stuff, but as long as he's locating it well, he's gonna be a good pitcher. And he's had a couple of seasons in AAA in Syracuse, New York, in the Blue Jays organization. I think Houston was fortunate to get him.
Starting the season, especially in spring training, Fernando Nieves was thought to be going to for sure in the starting rotation. Can you tell us now how his rehab is going and how he's looking, and if he's going to be possible when the call up could be to here in Houston?
You know, for me to forecast something like that, I think it'd be disingenuous. He came out last night and just had electric stuff through three innings. Fastball running it up to 94, had excellent command of both sides of the plate, and then ran into trouble in the fourth inning, gave up three runs in the fourth and one in the fifth and took the loss. But I have to say, in his defense, we're playing Las Vegas, and this is a ball club, the Dodgers AAA affiliate, and as a team, they're hitting .376 over their last 10 games. I mean, they just have been outlandishly good at the plate. Their leading hitter is a former Minnesota Twin third baseman named Terry Tiffey, and he's hitting the .480s, and that's after 120 at-bats. Now, that's putting wood to horse hide, and that's no excuse for Nieves, but if you're asking me to handicap when he'll be back, I don't know. There's so much that goes into this. I think his arm strength is back. I just think that it depends on what role they're going to use him in. If they're going to use him late innings in the bullpen, that's one thing. If you're asking him to stretch out and go six or seven as a quality starter, I think he needs to build up a little more endurance because he certainly has the stuff.
We're joined by Mike Katz, the voice of the Round Rock Express, and this is the pipeline here to the Houston Astros. There's a lot of, back and forth going on there, and for good Mr. Cavs gets to see these guys as they develop. One guy that I want to learn a little bit more about is Reggie Abercrombie. There's a lot of hype around it, Reggie, and his batting average this year is not up to par, but he's definitely an electric player.
You know, he is. Reggie has just such tremendous speed and acceleration in the outfield. He's not going to play center field for us. He's playing on the corners because of a young man named Yordani Ramirez, who's one of the most spectacular center fielders I've ever seen at any level. I mean, this kid is just unbelievable. If he can hit just a little bit, Houston fans will know more about him. But he's got to develop at the plate. Reggie, on the other hand, is in a little bit of a groove right now. He's on a 10-game hitting streak, and he's not in the starting lineup this afternoon. He'll be back tomorrow, just a day off. He tweaked his shoulder in last night's game, and nothing serious. But Reggie's battle right now, and hitters go through this, as you guys know, being baseball fans and experts that you are. You get into a slide sometimes. Reggie's been chasing sliders in the dirt, outside corner, and he's just having trouble staying off that pitch, and he's begun to make progress over his last 10 games, and the hitting streak has been a pretty good indication that he's doing that. And once he does, we saw him last year. He hit .485 for Albuquerque against the Express last year and just wore out our pitching staff. We know that he'll come around, and as he does, it will improve markedly at the plate and provide some protection for a couple of our power guys.
Talk about a veteran, Mark Sacamano, who I believe played collegiately at Baylor. He's been a guy that's he's batting, what, .296 this year. Talk a little bit about Mark Sacamano and his prospects of ever getting to the big leagues.
You know, I don't know what's holding him back. I see a great defensive third baseman. We had not seen him play third much last year. He played mostly first for us and DH'd, but we've seen him turn some acrobatic stunts at third base this year and just much, much better defensively than I ever realized. Sincere power, 22 home runs for us last year. He hit one here the other night into a gale that landed on top of the berm above the bullpen, which is a shot of about 415 feet into a wind. Now, if any of your fans have been in the Dell Diamond when the wind's blowing in from the northeast, it comes in gales, and it holds up everything from center field over to left. But he crushed it into that wind, and that's the kind of pop he has, and he's focused. He's 26, 27 years old. I think he has a future in the major leagues for somebody.
Yeah, and you know, he does a lot of speed up in Round Rock, and you talked about Ramirez, and the first chance I got to see him, it was on YouTube, actually. He had I think he was with Tucson, and he had a catch that was just amazing. Now, the fact that Bourne is here now, and he has so much speed, and Pence is a young guy who obviously came through the Round Rock and the Astros system. Talk a little bit about Ramirez, and just, I mean, you talked about his hitting, but his defense and his overall speed.
One of the fastest guys I've ever seen. I would love to see him and Bourne in a foot race. I think it'd be magnificent to watch. He has 7 steals and 7 tries, and even though he's hit mostly in the lower third of the batting order for most of the season, you can see that teams in the PCL already have begun to realize what a speed demon he is. You have Reggie Abercrombie, who is second in the league with 9 steals, toward the top of the order. You have Ramirez down to the bottom, who has 7 steals and 7 tries, and people respect that, and it does cause some confusion on the bases, and I just think that if he can learn to hit just a little bit, if he can hit in the 260s, 270s, you're looking at a guy that's going to have a 10, 12-year major league career, I think.
Our guest is Mike Cavs, voice of the Round Rock Express. I want to get to the juicy stuff now, Mike. I want to get into some juicy details about you. I know you covered the death penalty of SMU in Pony Football. I also know that you were involved with the Branch Davidian, so I got to hear these stories, man. I know you were an investigative reporter when it came down to that. Let's talk a little bit about what happened with SMU and how you were a part of that. You were with, what, WFAA in Dallas at the time?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, this was then. We actually started that investigation in 1983, and we actually had them dead to rights on a player who never passed a high school English class and never should have been allowed to play one down at SMU and yet had an All-American career there. and we had it dead to rights. We had the story written. We had everything but the legal done on it, and our lawyer at that time wouldn't pass the story, wouldn't allow it to run. Well, segue to, what, 4 or 5 years later when we finally blew the doors off that thing, and remember they banned 10 SMU boosters, if you'll remember. We're in Kansas City for that hearing, and the fourth booster out of the room was the lawyer who would not allow our story.
Wow.
So we actually went to an out-of-house attorney for all of our legal for the rest of that, and then we found David Stanley, the former linebacker from down in the Brazosport area, who finally copped to being paid, showed us how he received his checks. We did handwriting experts analysis on all the checks, matched it with boosters and coaches and those sorts of things. And the thing just was so detailed, and it developed tentacles. You'll remember the governor of the state of Texas was involved in the payoffs, and it certainly wrecked the SMU football program. And I have people ask me all the time, do you regret doing that story for what it did to SMU football? Well, in the sense that, on the one hand, yes, because I have a dear, dear friend who played football at SMU in the 70s, and it turns out that over the course of time, he's told me that he was really glad that we did that and cleaned it up, because sooner or later they'll come back and have a good college program. And I hope with that new stadium that they have, it's 4 or 5 years old, that they're back that way. But it was, you know, it was a very intense 3 or 4 year pursuit of that, and you hated to see the things that happened, and I don't know that we did that much to clean up collegiate athletics. I hope so, but if it woke somebody up to what was going on, so much the better.
Mike Capps is our guest from the Round Rock Express, the voice of, and another story that you were involved in was the Branch Davidians. Now, you and I are familiar with the town of Waco, obviously. You spent some time covering the story there. Branch Davidians didn't actually happen in Waco. It was just the closest city to it. Talk about your experience there and all the things you got to see behind the scenes.
Well, I was there the entire time, and we were there 2 weeks even after it ended doing cleanup operation stories. And I think it was one of the most tragic situations I'd ever seen. The Waco sheriff, the McLennan County sheriff in those days, later told us that he had begged the federal authorities not to go in, not to run the raid, that if they wanted Koresh delivered with no bloodshed, he could do that. And I certainly believe him, knowing what I know now. And so I think the whole thing could have been avoided with not much problem at all. But as we know, that didn't happen. We had the raid. We had that standoff that lasted 50-some-odd days, and I broadcast the last 10 hours of it live. And it was a tragic end to a story that certainly or a situation that certainly could have been avoided, and it was heartbreaking that it wasn't.
Mike Capps is the voice of the Round Rock Express, and you, whenever you tune into Austin Radio or if you get online and listen, that's the man who tells you the story about the stars that are coming here to the Houston Astros.
And if you want to talk about just the radio and get out to Dale Diamond, is one, the minor league experience out there at Dale Diamond is amazing. And I know we have.
You know what? I need you two guys to come do PR for us. You're doing a great job.
Well, as you know, I used to do a little PR. So if you know, if,
I know that.
You
know, yeah.
If they want to pay me a little extra dime, I'll be over. Actually, I'll do it.
Everybody's got a price, right?
I'll do it for free for you, my friend. Hey, and I also want to make sure, and Rodney and I were discussing this, you won the Minor League Broadcaster of the Year award last season, correct?
In 06, yeah. I
in 06.
I'm real fortunate to win that.
Congratulations on that. That's
thank
awesome.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. That was really a neat award. There's a publication called Minor League News that does that, and that was a great, great honor. And I appreciate you mentioning that.
Well, we appreciate it. We'll certainly keep in touch, and we want to follow all these future Astros and to see where their career develops. I'm also very excited about Reggie Abercrombie's prospects here in the majors. So we'll catch up with you very soon, Mr. Capps.
We're here to serve.
Thank you very much. Mike Capps,
see you later.
Round Rock Express, the voice of right there. And
that's solid.
Good stuff from him. So we appreciate his time.
I'm dead serious about games at Dale Diamond.
Oh, it's a great atmosphere. It's a fantastic place to go.
I mean, when you think about it, it's a suburb, one. I mean, it's a city, but it's a suburb of Austin. Austin's not a big city. But then when you're getting 10,000, he said averaging 10,000 a night, that's a lot for minor league baseball, because you're going there, and literally when the team's not necessarily that good, you're going just to see the atmosphere. The guys are, you know, they pass through, like, you know, it's different when Clemens is down, you know, stuff like that. But great, great atmosphere.
I highly recommend if you're a baseball fan going to Vidal Diamond, and if not even for the Round Rock Express, the high school state championships are played there. I've gone several times to cover games there, and it's a fantastic place, so I highly recommend it. We are way late for a break, but that segment was awesome. We had to keep Mike on for as long as possible, especially I love the whole Branch Davidian aspect of it, because this is a guy that he was working for CNN, for God's sake.
That's history, you know what I'm saying?
He worked for CNN. He's like, you know what? I'm going to start all over, and I'm gonna do baseball. And he's now the voice. He's been the voice now. He's been for 9 years, the original voice of the Round Rock Express.
And the thing about it is, because it started when I was, you know, still up in Austin in school, and it was a huge, huge deal when it came there. They have great, us promoting them, they have great promotions and stuff. Because that's what minor league baseball is about, man.
Heck,
man,
yeah.
Mike's amazing.
We appreciate that. James Anderson, again, with a big guest. James, can you get us Nolan Ryan, dude? Come on! Can you get us Mike Scott?
What we need to get...
Just kidding, James.
People,
you did a great job, by the way.
Make sure you come out here as Back That Thing Up plays. Texas and Hamilton with the bus, and there is a lot of sunshine out here today.
We love...
That's the way I'm going to put it. A lot of sunshine.
We love the bus. Call us up, 713-439-1560. We're on the air for another, I don't know, 37 minutes. Does that sound right?
37-ish.
37-ish. Hey, Dell, 8 times 8 equals 64.